Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Are You Having a Draft? My name is Bradley James.
And as ever, you are joined by me, Marcus Ellard.
Hello, Marcus.
Hello, mate.
People listening to this either know or have access to the scoreline of Manchester United versus Arsenal. We're about to watch it.
Yes! We're giving the fans what they want. Also, I'm really happy about this because, Bradley, guess how many players that have been drafted from either squad, Arsenal and Man United?
If we were smart, it would be under three.
As well. Yeah.
But we're not, so I'm going to say 20-odd.
21.
21.
So there are 21 players that have been drafted by our drafters that are in the squads today. And there's a couple of injuries, as one of our guests can attest to.
Hot facts.
But yeah, it was 21. And we've got them all written down to be able to follow their progress throughout.
Well, I'll tell you what, Marcus, let's get on with it.
Are you having a draft?
Sure are, mate!
This week, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by...
Peter Everill, manager of Evil FC. I'm 10th in the league. Form is temporary, class is permanent.
And we are also joined by...
Nicholas Morgan, manager of Supermarket Sweepers FC. And currently top.
Top of the league. How's it feel, Nick?
Feels very good, got to admit, but I'm not going to get in my head myself like Peter is here. I think...
How am I ahead of myself? I'm in 10th place.
You've just predicted yourself.
You wouldn't say that. We had to force it out of you.
Yeah.
And you begrudgingly went, we're in 10th place.
Yep. Which is not catering zone or catering zone, just remind me.
It's not catering zone, mate.
Very good.
You should be worried about getting knocked off your perch.
Hey, Marcus.
Hi, mate.
It's that time again.
The Curse of Wolf.
I love it. I love it. Do you know what the best thing is about this? And I'll let you introduce who has been cursed by Wolf this time, because it's brilliant. But the best thing about doing it like this, we took a week off, so we're doing it every other week now, which means there's more time for more Curses of Wolf. Bradley, can you tell our fine listeners who has been struck down by the Curse of Wolf?
So we spoke last week about the transfer flurry that went down. We mentioned a spot of luck that happened for Johnny Wolf as he swooped in and signed Moussa Djenepo. I even said myself,
if you weren't on a bike,
if I was
biking
on a bike
across London, taking your time in the cycle lanes and being safe, you could have ended up with this guy.
He could have been mine. Turns out Wolf signed him.
Turns out he got injured.
He got injured. Not only did he get injured, where initially it was he was just going to miss this weekend.
Yeah.
The update came through from the medical team. He's going to be out for a little bit.
How long is he out for?
There's no specifics on that other than it's worse than they first feared, says Ralf Hasenhüttl.
And if Ralph Hasenhüttl was to say it, how do you think he'd say it?
It's a very difficult injury because the tendon is a little bit hurt and it's a big risk to take him on the pitch. He still has his problems with his muscle and cannot shoot.
This is brilliant.
Sounds like that guy out of The Simpsons.
Oh yeah. What's his name? I can't remember his name.
Rainier Wolfcastle. Yeah.
There you go.
At what point will Premier League managers start listening into this podcast and actually basing their transfer and rotation policy based on who Wolf has signed and is playing in his team?
I mean, it can't be long.
It's going to be soon. And also, I think whoever does listen to it first, they're not going to put it on the manager's WhatsApp group, are they? They're going to be like, they're going to keep it to themselves. They might sort of say to their assistant coach or like the chairman himself, listen to this part, we need to listen to this, all of us, but don't tell Man City.
See, I think there's another theory with this, and you could find Wolf cruising around in a Rolls Royce or a Ferrari, and the reason why is I think Pep's going to drop him a cool 50 grand to pick one Liverpool player, because that means then he's fucked.
Well, Firmino's on there.
Yeah,
Firmino's on there.
Firmino is on there.
But interestingly, because tonight,
as is Alisson,
who is injured and still injured.
So that's Moussa Gineppo for this week. We're so sorry, Moussa. Your career started off in the Premier League very brightly, but you weren't to know that Johnny Wolf was going to swoop in and take you. An addition to what might be the next curse of Wolf we're speaking about is Luke Shaw, who apparently is doubtful for this evening. We shall see.
And that is all for another instalment of
The Curse of Wolf.
He got 2 points.
We're going to call this section The Big Short. Why is that, Peter?
It's based after the film, the critically acclaimed film, The Big Short, which is about the financial disaster in 2008, how the money markets collapsed across the world, and the story of that unfolding.
We have an equivocal situation that has been occurring largely on WhatsApp direct messages in between drafters, and largely involving Jonathan Wolf and Andrew O'Neill. Now, the Big Short technique in trading, in this case, is to bundle up two or three crap players.
I was wondering where this was going. And I'm so glad you're explaining this, because I've got no idea what you're talking about.
And offer them to someone for a good player, with the idea that quantity is equal to quality. Johnny Wolf has been doing this for years. There is not a drafter who has less of an idea of how to trade than Johnny Wolf. There's just no way of dancing around that at all, because for years Johnny Wolf has tried to pretty much rip off anybody he can with these ridiculous trades. He does it in quite a brutal, kind of blunt way. Andy O'Neill takes a different tact. He's very polite, very kind about it. He's still doing the same thing. He's still trying to rip you off. Pete, have you got an example of this that came your way?
Andy's trade request, yeah.
Can I
read it out?
Yes, please do.
Apologies, Andy, for exposing what were private messages exchanged between us.
Well, don't expose all of those private messages.
I won't share the pictures. Right. It starts very pleasant, as you would expect from Andy O'Neill.
There's morning. A reason why they never talk about that office
part. Morning, Pete. How's it going, mate? ?
How's it going, mate?
Oh, well, now it was going, Marcus.
Hang on, I've got a similar message.
Okay.
Exact word for word, apart from he's obviously flipped the names. But
insert.
Morning, player, Nick. How's it going, mate? ?
All right, next bit from Pete.
Can I read out what I think is going to be next?
Yeah.
I've got a trade proposal for you.
I've got a trade proposal for you, ?
Yes.
Okay.
Pete, how did yours go?
Two players, Vertonghen and Giroud, for Walker and Keane. Any interest in that?
And Nick, what did yours say?
Giroud for Ings.
Okay, so less players involved.
Less players involved.
He wanted to give you Olivier Giroud.
Who's sitting on the, is very, very good at warming the bench.
For Danny Ings.
For Danny Ings.
Who's banging them in. Well, that's less of a big short because he's not packaged up as much crap as he usually does.
And to be fair to him, he gave me a beautiful rationale and I was very appreciative of that.
Let's hear it.
He says, the rationale is that Giroud is not a regular but plays for a team that scores loads of goals, so worth a risk. Ings is not prolific, plays for a low scoring team, but at least plays most weeks. I need steady regulars, whereas you can afford the risk. Any interest in this?
That's... I mean, he's worded it well.
Apart from the last couple of sentences, you can afford a risk, top of the table. Yeah, go on, I'll risk it.
Pete, what yours, you had a response to that?
Yeah, so my response was, I just wanted to clarify, because this was, you know, sent to me, I think, 8:39 on Saturday morning, so I just wanted to make sure I was reading it correctly. So my response back to Andy was, sorry, Andy, can I just clarify I've heard you correctly? One, you are offering me a defender who has fallen out with his manager and isn't going to play. In return, I offer you the starting right back of the best team in the country. Two, point number two. You were offering me an ageing third-choice striker who doesn't play, and in return, I give you a team's most expensive striker and first choice.
Well put, Peter. Did he have a response to that?
Yeah, he did. He did. You know, he's ever a thoughtful man, Andy. He tried to obviously explain that it was within my interest. So he wrote back, "Haha, Vertonghen is playing. He's back now. He started the last three league games in a row." I think at that point he hadn't kept a clean sheet. But as for Keane, he's hardly first choice. He's only started two games. And with Calvert-Lewin banging two in last night, can I just say that was a cup game that he played in. So it's certainly confirming that he's like second choice reserve for the cup.
And I think, but when you word it in such a way, you go, yeah, banging two in last night.
Banging two in. Who was it against? I think it was against some like championship Cup, wasn't it? It was, like first division team. Yeah.
I say Lincoln or somebody, I can't remember. So,
he says, I can't see Keane start in the next game either. And then he was reasonable. He said, sounds like you don't fancy this. though I don't think it's as preposterous as you think.
I feel like Andy might be going through something that we're not aware of.
It was Sheffield Wednesday who they beat.
Okay.
2-0. Yeah. Calvert-Lewin scoring in the 6th and the 10th. Scoring against his hometown
Calvert-Lewin banged them in.
Yes,
in
true.
The 6th and 10th.
Forgive me, he banged them in. Nick, what was the result of your conversation?
So it was all fairly organic, to be fair. This is sort of, early for me in terms of trading. I still don't know the logistics and how things work, but I just responded with a kind hello, mate. Nice to have some rationale, finally. Very respectful! Exclamation mark. It's not a no, it's a ponder. So I thought I'd ponder it for a bit. He said, no problem. It have to be next game week anyways, as I've already done a transfer this week, so no rush. Me? Okay, makes sense. Ings banged in a couple last night too. And he responded, sadly, no points for those because it was a League Cup game as well.
Mm.
But yet used it as a bargaining chip against Pete. But
he used the word banged.
Surprisingly enough, after having him on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, I didn't get any of those email messages from him.
So Andy and Wolf have been doing the rounds. Wolf was offering Ross Barkley and Ainsley Maitland-Niles. Strangely, I managed to predict who Wolf was going to drop the following game week and transfer in or use as make weight for his next transfer. It was Ainsley Maitland-Niles. You can always tell through that method who Wolf is about to transfer out of his team because he's probably about to offer you a trade for him.
Yeah, and say that they could.
And then go, oh, I think he's going to start. I think he's going to... I think what we're trying to say is we don't want to discourage trading, but Andy and Wolf might not necessarily have the idea. The idea of a trade is that there's a balance to it. You're both taking a risk. And I actually think that you and I have a good example of this in that Rashford and Robertson are pretty level playing field in terms of, although Marcus's face is suggesting
you're regretting that.
Only because, yeah. Well,
all right, well, before you get onto your feelings right now, yeah. Take yourself back to your feelings at the time.
Oh,
of the
no,
trade.
Look, thrilled. Thrilled with it. Like,
so you weren't coerced in any way, shape, because you can speak out now.
I suggested the trade. This is the thing I suggested the trade. Because.
Or did you?
Because Rashford was the lone striker. He was banging them in. He was an amazing player. He was taking a few penalties and stuff. And then I came up with this idea, and I thought, oh, that's a bit of a risk. Also, because I was keen on Robertson, super keen on Robertson. But I thought, he's the only one he's going to go for. So, then obviously we traded. Then he got injured. And then Man United are basically turned into the shittest team in the Premiership. So I'm obviously thinking, I've made a mistake here.
As I say, I don't think Johnny Wolf has quite cottoned on to it. Andy, however, following on from his failed attempts with some quite ludicrous offers, has actually managed to land a trade. And he's done it with Neil Dutton.
Now, isn't it interesting? This is interesting because not only is it probably the most convoluted trade that we've ever had.
Yeah.
But it's also last year's winner, Neil Dutton.
Yeah.
Taking a couple of players from second to the bottom, Andy O'Neill. Would you like to explain it, Bradley?
Well, let's mention the players involved.
Seeing as I've exposed personal messages exchanged between me and Andy, or what, Marcus suddenly gets looks a bit shocked as if I'm going to expose some
Where's this going?
So seeing as I've exposed some private communications between me and Andy, I thought it only fair that I balance it by also revealing some private exchanges between me and Dutton over the last week, right?
Did any of you two get nervous then when he was saying?
Yeah, I've got my messages up between me and Pete. They're literally here.
Oh, basically, next week when I don't get any WhatsApp messages from any of my mates, I don't know why. But so
you've not messaged me for ages anyway.
Oh.
True facts. me and Dutch were having a bit of an exchange, and he was like, "Oh, Andy's tapping me up for some trades," and I was like, "Oh, interesting. Who did he offer?" He put, "He's offering a two-player deal, one of them which is him trying to offload Giroud." And he then put a sick face emoji. Is that a sick face emoji?
It is indeed, yeah.
So Dutch is basically, on one hand, saying to me, Andy's trying to like offload Giroud's a bag of spanners to me. Next minute, though, he's taking him up on the offer.
So here's the trade. And it's, as I say, it's a bit convoluted, so you'll have to try and follow it. Andy is going to receive Dave Azpilicueta. In fact, I actually said the hardest part of the name. Cesar Azpilicueta and Gabriel Jesus Jesus. So Man City's backup striker who started this weekend and scored, and Chelsea's captain. That's who Andy's going to get. Dutz, who is higher up in the table, he's currently in third place. He's giving away those two players. He's giving away the Chelsea captain and a Man City player who gets in on the action. He's getting in return Ceballos at Arsenal, Michael Keane, the Everton defender, and Giroud. Giroud is arguably Chelsea's third choice striker. Michael Keane plays in a defence that doesn't know how to defend.
They're shit.
Ceballos is not a bad player. You wouldn't mind him in your team, but it's questionable as to whether his value is what it would need to be to make up for taking on board those other two players. I actually think Dutz hasn't done as well out of this trade. That would be my opinion on it. Now, here's the other aspect to it, and it also leads us on to Andy O'Neill's meltdown this week.
Just about to say, I feel an element of guilt around the Dutz trade, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure how much I can take responsibility for it, because I feel like I might have got ducked in Dutz's head a little bit, because I've been giving the chat, haven't I, about how Dave Asquilla Quetta or whatever his name is. Well,
that's why people just call him Dave.
Well, can we give him a nickname? So I don't
Dave just, is
yeah. Right, yeah.
What the Chelsea fans call him.
What, so
that people like you come along and don't go, that's a batter, come on.
Because I've been giving a bit of chat saying how... Dave might get replaced by Reece James, right?
Yes.
On the WhatsApp
which
group.
Which doesn't look ludicrous after his performance in the League Cup the other day.
Yeah, which after he was described as in prime Roberto Carlos.
In prime Roberto Carlos, okay. Yeah.
So I've been giving...
The tournoi years.
what a sweet time that was.
Yeah. So I've been giving a bit of chat, and I don't know whether Dutz has just hit the panic button over that and actually thought, you know what, he's right. And so he thinks he's done Andy one over by he's giving him a player that is essentially not going to be in the Chelsea team.
I mean, that could come to fruition, but at the moment, it doesn't look like that's the greatest trade for Dutz. We'll see. I actually think that Andy wanted this to turn out better than it did. And we have a man with us today who... has managed to not only scupper a big part of that trade for Andy, but also led or was played a part in the Andy O'Neill meltdown. Andy O'Neill, famously very level-headed, very calm.
Well, you could hear it on the last episode. Very even when he was laying into my team, very level-headed about it. Level-headedly won the competition that we had as well.
Even when I accidentally grabbed his broken collarbone on Brummett Stag Do, his reaction was very calm and peaceful about it.
Did that actually happen?
It did, somewhat.
I can imagine your grab was one of those really matey, laddie grabs. And Andy O'Neill just... I was going to say, Bradley.
It was more or less that. He was very cool, calm and collected about it.
I mean, he was wearing a sling, so there was an element of... it was quite obvious.
As you'll have noticed, Andy was ridding himself of three players and only receiving two, which means that he would need to bring in an extra player just from the free market. I'm more or less certain I know who that player was going to be. But he had to wait till 11:30 when game week 7 was going to kick in to be able to execute that. And at 11:30, he was going to sign Willian from Chelsea. Pete had dropped him a couple weeks before. And Andy was eyeing that trade up with the idea of bringing in Willian. However, at 11:14, Nicholas Morgan dropped Goodmunson and signed again, once again, the ever scorned Goodmunson, and signed Willian. Mm. And I am pretty sure that scuppered Andy's plan. Now, the other thing that came into play is that it had just been noticed that Andy had made a bit of a faux pas on the transfer group. He'd written his transfers in the wrong order, and he received a fine of £2 for it. Normally level-headed Andy O'Neill.
Very relaxed.
Very relaxed.
£2.
£2 to Andy O'Neill.
To a man like Andy O'Neill.
To a man like Andy O'Neill. To a businessman like Andy O'Neill.
And two cheeseburgers.
Apparently quite a bit. Because Andy went psycho on us. Andy style. If it was Wolf, it would just be a normal day for Wolf. But as it was Andy, it was a level 10 for Andy. It was probably a level 3 for Wolf.
We got relentlessly WhatsApped screenshots of previous trades, which he claimed were just as, if not more, illegal.
Have you ever witnessed this from Andy? You've known him for a long time.
I can't say I have, but what I can do is it did enormously tickle me. And having met his good lady, I just was thinking about him sat home getting wound up by it and what his missus would be thinking about the situation when he's wound up and she's like, why are you wound up, Andy? Well, I've just been fined £2 for this incorrect transfer being written, and I don't think it's right, and I've sent screenshots of examples of other transfers that have been written that haven't been fined, and I just don't understand it. And Susie will be like, that's right, that's where you wound up, is it?
Peter, you're about to lead the next subject.
Ooh, I feel the ongoing bets. if podcasters remember it from the last time me and Nick graced this show.
Go on.
Well, to refresh Marcus, who is in a haze of bets right now, he's trying to remember that he placed.
Yeah.
Earlier
on. You need to talk to someone, mate.
Dude. When the fun stops.
Like, the fun never fucking started this cut that bit out. Go on, Pete. What's this? What are you talking about? What shit are you chatting now?
So,
last... you've got it rattled. I've got it. Started swearing like a big boy.
Yeah. Got it in his head, haven't I? So, the last time me and Nick were on the show, we were discussing, I don't know how we quite got onto it, we were discussing the form of and potential value and points of Snodgrass and Declan Rice.
I'm pretty sure it was your predictive algorithm that led us onto this, and the fact that Marcus had these two players in his team.
That's how it happened. We were talking about how shit Marcus's team
But this shows the flaw in your thing, though, straight away. It shows the flaw in your algorithm, because I'll continue that after you've talked, because I'll write a note. Carry on.
So I've got two things I want to bring up. Yeah. The bet forfeit, and then just let's have a little progress update on how the bet's going.
Very good.
Right. So the bet forfeit we discussed last time was basically the bet was, if he scores 100, if them two combined score more than 150 points this season, me and Brad will wine and dine you two at a meal of our a restaurant of our choosing, right? But if they score less than 150 points, the two of them combined, look at Marcus getting nervous.
I don't remember. I know it's out there. It's out there on like all the on the platforms. But I literally can't remember what I bet.
Yeah. If them two combined score less than 150 points, you and Nick have to take me and Bradley out for a slap-up meal.
I feel like there's a reason that you're mentioning this, and I don't think it's because me and Nick are winning.
So, generally, we can look into that in a sec. But I thought, actually, the forfeit could be spiced up a little bit.
Go on.
So, I think we keep the fact that we buy each other a dinner on there, but...
Very romantic.
Very romantic. But the losers...
it says losers. But the losers!
Not only do they have to pay for the meal, they have to go and sit through the meal wearing their full draft kits.
Oh yes,
hashtag full kit wankers,
draft related punishment.
I mean, it took us months to convince Pete to even wear his in the first place, so I'm assuming that Declan Rice and Snodgrass are nowhere near 150 points. Go on, Pete, just for curiosity, on this random subject you brought up, please won't you enlighten us to how many points Rice and Snodgrass have?
I will point out, I like my kit that much, I actually wouldn't see that as a punishment.
Oh, no, you designed the kit. Oh, I like mine the best. Oh, it's probably because it's the nicest. Mine's fucking orange.
So is your hair. What's wrong with that?
Right, what's left of it.
So, so do we accept that forfeit update?
I think we do.
Well, let's face it. Yeah, go on then. There's no point denying it. There's no point denying
it. Nick, you were all right. Are you comfortable with this?
Go on, I accept.
Good man. Good.
I thought he was going to make you wear a Spurs kit and me wear like a...
Nah. That's never happened.
Nah, let's not go down that road. Slippery slope, that one.
Slippery slope, tell you.
So, I'm going to reveal the points that Snodgrass has got and Declan Rice have got so far.
Yeah. Both in Marcus's team? Oh no, he transferred them out.
He transferred them out?
That's how much faith he's got in his bet. That's both the players he backed are no longer in
that's
anybody's
the
team.
In your algorithm.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Does that void the bet?
Definitely not. No, it just means that Marcus has seen sense in the bet that he originally made.
I mean, interesting though, he rubbishes my up.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Algorithm, two of the points I've called out in the weakness of his team, he's addressed.
Yeah, but that's about your algorithms. Well, they're out.
Well, put them back in your team then, mate.
I've transferred them out and now I'm seventh. Like, simples.
Right. Maybe you can get him in instead of Rashford, yeah?
Right. So, Rice has banged in a couple of hat-tricks, hasn't he?
First of all, something...
Whose fucking side are you on?
Maybe a question that Brummett would like, or not like. Who? Before I get into the detail, who do you think's got more points? Snodgrass or Glenn Murray?
Robert Snodgrass, 100% there.
I'm going to say Glenn Murray.
Yeah.
Nick?
Murray.
Yeah.
I'm saying Snodgrass because I believe in our bet.
So, Glenn Murray's got a massive 9 points for Matt Brummett.
What's Bobby Snodders got?
He's got a total of 4 points so far this season.
Good. The big four from Bobby Snodders.
So,
so, Declan Rice has got 16 points so far.
That's great.
So, combined
20 points.
Combined 20 points. Divided by 7 game weeks, that gives them a weekly run of 2.857. So, so far, every game week on average, them pair combined have got 2.857 points. Right? If we multiply their weekly average by 38 game weeks, how much do you think? How many points do you think them two lethal weapons are going to get?
112.
It's good. It's 108.57. So we'll round it up to 109.
Thank you. And they need to get 150.
50.
I can taste that. Lobster a la carte.
No, let's not be silly about it. Let's
it's lobster a la carte thing.
Let's be realistic.
I think pizza
and fresh array. We're going to go specifically into a restaurant and ask for their fine engine lobster a la carte.
So we will have further updates for you on a bet that we will be calling Snodrice until we come up with a better name for it. Ricegrass.
Snodrice Gate.
Gate? Where's the gate come from?
It's like when there's a controversial thing, they always put gate on the end, don't they?
I mean, the only thing controversial is your
judgment
on bets.
So, due to popular demand and the fact that we really like the idea, tonight, Bradley, we're going to be watching Manchester United versus Arsenal and recording our reactions throughout. How do you feel about that?
Come on, you gooners!
So there's even more at stake because you're an actual gooner. Nick's a gooner. Double gooners.
Double goons.
I mean, I should have noticed because he's sitting there in the 1995 away strip. But
specific year reference. Well done.
It's a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
So tonight we've got Manchester United versus Arsenal. It's double important because we've got two gooners with us. And also, there are 21 players that could potentially be playing that have been drafted by our drafters.
Woo!
So, predictions for the game?
Well, as an Arsenal fan, I've been on the end of various emotions watching these games. I remember going up to Old Trafford about 6 years ago, and with the Ferguson effect, he managed to play a midfield of a ball boy, the tea lady, and Ji Sung Park, and they still managed to win 1-0. In fact, I think Ji Sung Park actually scored the winner. I couldn't believe it.
But that's surprised it wasn't the tea lady.
But that's the Ferguson effect for you.
It's 13 years without a win, isn't it, at Old Trafford for the Gooners?
Well, we've won in the FA Cup. I don't know if we've won in the league there for perhaps 13 years. Is that? Yeah, well, there you go. It's a tough place for us to go. And unfortunately, in recent years, even when Manchester United haven't had the teams they've had in the past, we still haven't been able to capitalise on that. My prediction for this evening, because of that, is I think it's going to be 1-1.
Okay. Okay, Nick?
Read my mind. I also have said 1-1. I just don't think it's going to be a super exciting game. I think it's going to be a complete dead rubber, 1-1.
Which is quite in contrast for the games in the classic Premier League years. They had the big fights, the managers were at it, the ball boys were at it.
Yeah.
There was pileups in the middle of the field.
Pre-2005, it was more of a level playing field, and then United just kicked into overdrive, and it sort of came at the same time as Arsenal's gradual free fall. It's not really a free fall, but slow decline, in fact, which has now resulted in us struggling to get into the top four.
and Manchester United now find themselves in the same position. What's your prediction, Marcus? What do you think the score's going to be?
I think Aubameyang's on a bit of a roll. So I think it might be more than one all. In fact, just to make it interesting, I think 2-1 Arsenal.
No!
With the Aubameyang brace.
My neighbour George thinks it's going to be 4-0 to Arsenal.
He's smoking is what we need to talk about.
So what do you think the score is going to be, Pete?
Score's going to be, I think it's going to be 2-0 to, or 2-1 to Arsenal.
Wow,
I think Arsenal are going to do it.
So we've got the lineups. What are they, Marcus? You seem over the moon about them.
Well, obviously, as everyone knows, we've done this trade, right?
Yeah.
And I've been feeling a bit ropey about it. But the one bit is obviously because I brought the trade along, you got Robertson first, which means this week you've got Robertson and Rashford. I've been fine with that this week because Rashford was injured. It's like, brilliant, they're going to give him the night off. What have they done? They're starting him. So I've got, at the minute, I've got a Greenwood in my team, which I thought, oh, brilliant, he's going to be their lone striker. Rashford's coming on.
So we've got Rashford starting. So I've got a vested interest. Pete, you got any players playing tonight?
No.
Nick, who have you got playing?
No one, because Martial's still injured.
Okay, so Marcus has...
Well, yeah, but I've got Mason Greenwood, who's on the bench.
Mason Greenwood. And I guess also you're taking a vested interest in Rashford from the point of view of seeing how he moves on in the future.
I am. I would prefer it if he wasn't playing today, though, because you've got him.
Marcus, Harry Maguire must be...
kicking himself. It's brilliant. Can you imagine him sitting at home last night watching Leicester City, his former club, thrash Newcastle United 5-0, Leicester go third, Manchester United 11th.
I can imagine him sitting at home, and what he'll be doing is flipping out dollar bills from his hands because I don't think he cares about where he was playing so long as he's got the money.
I don't know how you could do that.
I could imagine he wasn't sitting at home last night because in my head he's doing that Scrooge McDuck dive.
I don't know how, if that is the case, then that's really disappointing because I don't know how you could be like, yeah, I've got loads of money, but I've got zero pride in my team.
I think we're probably being a bit harsh. I think it's a move that a lot of people would make. I think your career is not necessarily a long one in the Premier League, and I think he's probably done a good service for Leicester. He's been offered an opportunity and a financial opportunity that would probably see him and his family, you know, looked after for quite some time. And then arguably he's got in at United at a time when they're rebuilding and they can rebuild around him. A rebuild, you could argue, they need.
I was going to say, and also, I mean, when he's playing in the Champions League during the weeks and Leicester players are all sat at home on their budget savers watching him play in the Champions League.
This year. Next year, Leicester. Next year it'll be the other way around.
Next year, Soyuncu's going to be there.
Soyuncu is having an absolute storm season. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Leicester City being brilliant and Manchester United being shit. We're here to watch Manchester United versus Arsenal.
And it's live!
Oh, that's what I was going to do. I've always wanted to do it.
I'm scared.
What of?
Rashford. I think he's going to bang in a couple.
Are you sat on my phone?
Is that your phone now?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's kind of, if he does, it's great if he does, but also it's really bad if he does. Because I've not got him yet.
He's on your bench.
Because no, I've not got him yet.
I really don't feel good about a player who's 77 in his back.
Who's got 77 in his back?
Saka.
Yeah, but what's TAA got in his?
66. Well, it's a hangover from being a youth team player and then just held on to it. I heard that anytime Ozil doesn't play, contractually they have to say it's because he's either ill or injured.
What?
They can't say he's been dropped.
That's not... Is that... How did you hear that? Is that true?
Yeah, it's sort of... Well, when it, rather than saying it's true, it's one of those things that's commonly repeated.
Well, supposedly we can't drop if they're fit. We can't drop. We've got to play start with Joe Allen and Jack Butland in our team as well.
Which explains why Jack Butland's still in the team, because he seems to drop one every game.
Oh, he's lost his place at this point this season. We've got Joe Allen coming back tomorrow now. Brilliant.
Can you just give it a rest with Joe Allen?
I can't do it.
The Welsh Iniesta, is that what he's known as?
Stoke fans are not keen on Joe Allen.
Right, he... So when you were talking in the podcast earlier about players pretending to be footballers...
Yeah, yeah.
He basically runs around, he looks busy.
Yeah.
He looks busy.
This.
It's like, what do you do, mate?
That's like you in Sainsbury's, though. Go on, Chambers. Looking sharp.
I think you're going to be right.
I think his haircut and beard is excellent. Yeah. I was thinking
he's very sharp, isn't he?
He really is. He knows he's making a televisual appearance.
Yeah, right? He's pulled one out of the
bag. He's been down the bar.
It's a bit of a Theo Walcott, isn't it? Theo always looks like he just had a haircut.
Do you see that with Theo Walcott at the weekend?
Yeah. Smashing the...
This is the back of his neck or something, wasn't it?
Like, yeah, it's God one.
What happened to this referees not being crowded? Because... beginning of last season, nobody talks to referees. Look at this, they should all be booked.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll let you carry on.
No, I don't disagree. I think it should be rugby.
But last season, when they talked to them at the beginning of the season, they were getting booked left, right, and centre.
Yeah.
Nobody did it. And now they've just started VARs in now, so we'll just stop that.
Well, football, unfortunately, breeds entitlement from the players.
Yeah.
And it should be, it without doubt, should be like rugby. Like, you do not talk back to the referee.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, there's been a real decay that has just crept into the sport. And
since Tony Adams, spilled, mic'd up.
Yeah, there aren't the characters.
Well,
in the,
when Maitland Niles got finally sent off, he was injured, wasn't he, when it happened? And the players were trying to convince the ref to put his card away, because he had his card in his hand the whole time. He kept having the word in his ear, but I was convinced Ronaldo scored in every minute of a game.
A game, right.
That's insane.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Which means at some point you scored a goal from 0 to 59 seconds.
Did San Marino score a goal against us in 13 seconds?
Yes. But they're a different gravy though, aren't they? You don't want to fall asleep early on San Marino.
Would you back yourself if you lived in San Marino to play for San Marino?
Without doubt.
Oh, don't ask Bradley that. Of course he would. He'll be captain. captain until he's 40 years old.
He'd be playing in goal, defense.
He's got no right to complain about that.
Mate, he could have broken Pratt's legs, both of them.
Yeah.
It was
and the fact that the ref is like, oh, Rashford's getting a book in here now.
Well, that's
nice.
Good. This week.
Yeah.
I think Socrates is making the most of that, though, isn't it? Oh! Yeah, he's gone through the studs up, hasn't he, Rashford, there?
Studs from here. It wasn't just a genuine slide. 2019 yellow card. And maybe 2018 and 2017 as well.
What?
I think Martin Tyler might be losing it. I don't know what he means. Oh, I go down to the barbers at the weekend with a picture of Chambers.
Are you going to get Chambers?
Go on, go on,
get
Callum. Sort me out.
Yeah, give me a Callum.
And they'll go, you're far too old for that haircut.
Yeah.
They'll go, do you want us to draw the bits in on this Chambers?
Twat. There's two. Both of them tackles are bookable offences.
Come on, ref!
If you've booked Rashford for an honest slide.
Oh, what's this crowding around the referee again? What's happening?
Ooh. I mean, that's another leg breaker if he catches him wrong.
Yeah, if his feet were, if his studs were stuck in the ground.
Knee to knee. Oh, that's
all.
That could be equally useful for McTominay, though.
Yeah, this is going to be David Luiz into about row W.
What, 35 yards out?
Oh, he's going to
have a David Luiz special year.
Yeah, he's going to ping this into one of those exit
I think he's going to score.
Oh my god.
No, what a waste.
No.
What a waste.
There you go. The Arsenal captain there.
Is that Freddie Ljungberg?
Yeah. No, it's Neil Dutton.
That's two. That's their last two set pieces wasted.
You notice when players go and hug each other in a group after a goal is scored?
Yeah.
And they just huddle for as long as they can. That's because teams are quite susceptible to conceding and equalising as soon as they've scored. So what they do is they try and kill the energy of the other team by burning as much time as they can after the goal. And every team does it, every team gets away with it.
You're a bit worried, Nick.
Disappointing. You talk about
one, the control.
Many things that could be missing from these teams, but
well, we're normally 1-0 down going into half time.
I was going to say, I reckon Rashford will get one before half time. Now that you've said that, he definitely won't.
That's not how it works, but
it definitely is.
It's a jinx.
Yeah. Me, I am the one person out of probably the 15 million people that are watching this match that has said that. Therefore, it will definitely happen.
There you go.
Oh my God, Marcus Rashford, you absolute twat.
Socrates, rapido.
He was about to bang one in.
How did he not bang one in for there? Literally, it was written in the stars.
Because you jinxed him, mate.
You jinxed it.
You jinxed it. You got to understand this.
Socrates.
Socrates actually showed some pace there.
Yeah, I know.
I've never seen him run faster than a five-year-old child before.
Oh!
cut in.
Oh! Who's that?
Doozy. Windows. Not happy with that.
You can't keep those sponsors.
I thought he was going to do a catch fire.
This being the first game that we are doing a record on, or a full record, it's going to end up 0-0, isn't it?
Yeah. No, nothing will happen. Yeah. Rashford's in the middle!
Oh!
The old Marcus Jinx has worked again.
Go away!
Oh! Mensah's got McTominay!
Told you, the model's coming through!
I think that was a Rashford assist, wasn't it?
Did Pogba get a touch on that?
He better not have done.
Yes, he missed it! Thank God for that!
I'm really not. Half time, what does Emery need to do, Nick?
What does Emery need to do?
I mean, apart from sort of just sort of standing there grimacing at how badly is he performing at pieces?
The problem is he hasn't got much on the bench to look to, so
I
don't think so. Who's he got? Martinelli?
Ceballos,
yeah, creative midfielder, that's a good shout, to be fair. I'd probably take off Torreira, even though I rate Torreira as a great sort of player to break up the play. We've got Xhaka to do that, we've got Guendouzi to do that, so bring on Ceballos. Socrates again with the burners.
Unleash the turbo.
Okay, I've never seen that skill before, but it worked.
Pull it in the giraffe leg.
It was bizarre.
Callum giraffe leg chambers.
Callum sharp haircut.
Chambers. Oh, slick cut Chambers.
Oh, look who it is. Slick cut.
Oh, God. You got a chance like that. You got to put it away. I mean, it says everything that you pointed out earlier.
It feels like
Aubameyang should be the man in the box.
Yeah. I just think, Aubameyang just keeps drifting wide. I think he needs to get central.
Yeah. Well, he's not getting the service.
He's not getting anything.
Keep playing.
Keep playing, you moron.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Here you go, Nick. Here's the change you called.
Yeah, is it like for like? There we go.
So who is it? You that got Ceballos, Nick? Is it?
No. He's just been involved in the trade. Dutz is now there, will have him. And he's got him at the moment.
I'd go with that.
Can you remember that years back, the whole ding dong between Ian Wright and Schmeichel?
Yeah.
That was big, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
Get in!
Come on!
Yes! He's offside.
No.
Fuck!
No, he's not. Oh.
Sake.
No, he's not offside.
Well, fucking.
He's a mile on.
Surely that's VARable.
He's a mile on side.
If this is not VAR'd, I'm fucking leaving now.
Surely VAR. Surely VAR comes in here.
Thank fuck for that. How is he giving
him offside? VAR comes in.
He's standing right there.
Surely VAR comes in, right?
Come on, it's a tech. It's a 1 second check.
Oh, yes,
Aubameyang.
Yes, is that the first goal of VAR's given?
Yeah, that was. See, what are they doing? What are they doing here?
They're all giving each other a love.
I think they're celebrating the fact that they've scored a goal.
But what I mean is, every team comes in and does this thing where they waste time by sort of like hugging it out.
I just think generally they're actually celebrating.
Who set that up? Is that when it was Pepe, was it?
It's Saka.
Oh. The linesman is there. He's
but you can see his eyes on the player playing the ball.
I don't blame the linesman per se for that, because this is why VAR sort of has a positive effect, is because that's difficult to see.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't know, Maguire was right in front of him.
Aubameyang scoring gets the
Andy O'Neill
big six. What do we think about Andy O'Neill's chances now?
Mate, I reckon Aubameyang will get his second goal. This is the 2-1. This is the 2-1 I was saying.
I might have to rerun Andy through the model.
Goal!
Oh, that's a miss.
That is a miss.
Or should it have been a penalty on Pep? Pepe.
It's been blocked. I'm pretty sure that was a block.
It's all.
Yeah, it's come off of Lindelof.
Every single one of them's on the floor. What's going on there?
I mean.
Yeah, you're right. That's come off.
It's come off him, but he should be finishing that. I mean, he's a young lad, so.
So is your mate Maguire at fault for the goal then?
Not my mate.
So would you hate Vardy if he went to Arsenal when he was due to 2 years ago?
He's never been going.
No, but if he did.
He didn't.
I would have done, actually.
You would have hated him?
Yeah. Well, I would have.
He's won you the league.
What, the Vardy who got all the boys round at his to watch the footage?
That's what I'm saying, he wouldn't have gone. It's completely hypothetical.
Mr. Leicester.
Such a good kit.
Such a good kit. I got the pink Leicester one a couple of weeks ago.
Did you?
Yeah. I am loving it.
Thank you. Your colour.
Thanks, mate.
Is Rashford about to come off?
Lingard.
Who's just coming
off? Oh, Pereira's coming off. That's Fred.
Greenwood's coming off.
Fred.
Greenwood, mate. Marcus is in the game.
Mason. Come on, lad. He could do it. He could be the one that wins it for them.
Yeah, he's got the look about him, hasn't he?
I think he'll get a few goals this season. Who's this lad Arsenal bringing on?
Willock. Matt Willock.
What's he being busted?
Willis, yeah.
Yari said a bizarre thing this week. He
just one thing.
Andy had announced the trade, and Yari said, "Oh, I've got just the signing that's going to mess this up for Andy." And that's when I thought, "Oh, he's going to sign William," and then he went and signed Chelsea's third choice striker.
Batshuayi,
yeah. I thought, I don't think Andy's going to be that bothered.
I mean, that's the thing with Dutz. If you wanted a striker, why didn't you just get Batshuayi rather than Giroud?
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Another thing I learned on my tour of the Leicester City ground,
yeah,
that those footballs have 4 microchips in them.
What, for the goal line technology?
Goal line technology. So each football's worth about £800 or something.
Really?
Mental. Wow. Luis has just given away this free kick on a very dangerous position. This is it. This is a Man U win.
Who's taking it there?
Say it, Marcus.
Rashford will score now.
Thank you. Bittersweet. Go away, Fred. Fred, you're lucky to even be on the pitch. Why are you offering advice? You're lucky to be in the Premier League.
Was it the one that Gary Neville was saying was 60 million quid?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
Oh my god.
That's what I mean, United.
Look what Guendouzi's doing.
He loves it, doesn't he?
Martin Tyler, Manchester United fan. Martin Tyler, diehard Manchester United fan.
Martin Tyler, Manchester United's number one fan.
Number one fan. It's Marcus Rashford. Why would you not face the ball
so you know where it is? This is a good point.
Rashford. Oh, great save.
Great save. Careful.
Get this out. Yeah, Guendouzi.
Oh, Guendouzi! There he is.
Guendouzi again. Give that man the armband.
He's a...
Dead and fucking way.
Guendouzi.
Guendouzi.
Oh, he's had to get the spray out for disobedient Daniel James. Disobedient Dan.
Oh my god. We haven't got a single player who can cross the ball.
Dead robber. You said it.
Hey, we called that.
1-1.
1-1. There you go. And I'm disappointed. It's finished 1-1. Nick, you and I both seem to have the number of our team quite down quite well.
Yep.
We both saw that coming. I don't think we are necessarily being pessimistic.
No.
Well, realistic as it proved, but feels like opportunity missed.
Opportunity missed. Very average game. Wet and windy up in Old Trafford. But yeah, we didn't capitalise. I think we had them on the ropes for about 10 minutes in the second half. But just clearly didn't have the firepower.
So there we are. There we are. That was our live reactions to Manchester United versus Arsenal.
Gunners!
So thanks for joining us again. Really appreciate it. Thank you to our guests. Thank you to Nick.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Pete, for being a Swedish hunk.
And thank you to Peter Everall.
The Swedish hunk.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, as always, to our wonderful producer, Zach Brown.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it, mate. Also, thank you to Kate Bellamy at kate.made.this and Matthew Melaloo at Matthew Melaloo.
Thank you also to our wonderful music, which is composed by
CJ Pundit.
Also, big thanks to Mark Stroke Will Coburn. What did you call him?
I can't remember now.
Was it Will? Mark?
No, I don't remember.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Will. Thank you, Will. WCobanPhotography.com. Thank you, baby. And thanks, finally, but not leastly, to our wonderful friends and hosts at Acast.
Cheers, Acast! Thanks a lot, fellas!
And until next time, draft safe.